Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I've known somewhat from a distance my next guest for probably the best part of 20 years. We'd occasionally bump into each other because of her job as the brilliant minder of Carl Faes, a good friend of Open House. And then just recently, I learnt something about her to my great surprise. And that surprise makes this chat with her really important. Beth Louise Barrett has suffered terribly from depression for those past 20 years, with anxiety and social phobia. To most people who'd known her, talked to her, been with her, it would have been a surprise because depression is so often such a secret thing. It's an important and courageous thing she's doing, talking about it all and writing about it in a book that I have to say is like no other I've seen. And that's saying something. It's called How I Survive the Depression Thing. Beth, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee.
It's wonderful to see you in a totally new context.
Yes.
I note the tense of your title, How I Survive. It's not survived as in past tense.
Thank you for noticing that.
Yeah.
It's very intentionally current tense. A present continuous tense, I believe, is the correct English term if you're an English buff.
How grammatically appropriate of you.
Yes, no, it's definitely an ongoing thing for me.
Yeah. So the point is that this is something that's just not got an easy answer.
Correct.
And that it goes on.
Yes, it does.
It began with postnatal depression.
That's right. Yes, I had one child, Casey, who's now 26. And then after Luke was born, I was diagnosed with postnatal depression. It was like waking up one morning. It was almost like someone had taken the normal Beth program out of my head and replaced it with a completely different one. So I went from being happy, bubbly, content to being depressed, obviously, feeling hopeless, worthless, and that life was just not worth living anymore.
Can you describe to us in practical terms what that did to each day for you?
Okay, well, the term hopeless meant that I completely lacked motivation to do anything. Now, I remember I had two small young children. Mm-hmm. So basically, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't want to leave the house. I cried constantly. I wanted to die constantly, if only just to stop the pain. Totally confused, totally couldn't understand what was going on. I should say I had a couple of people in my life that said I probably had depression, postnatal depression at that point, but I went into denial. I would not admit that. I could not agree to that diagnosis.
Why not?
I guess because of the stigma of mental illness, and that was not me. That was not anybody I knew of in my immediate circle of friends or family. I think my baby health centre nurse, I don't know if they still have those these days.
Somewhere, probably.
She was marvellous, Denise, wherever you are, thank you. But she sent me off to see a psychiatrist in the local hospital and they wanted to admit me. I said, no, that's not me. I'm fine. I'll be okay tomorrow. And so she gave me some antidepressants and I came home and flushed them down the toilet.
So you're in big denial mode.
Yes.
Purely because of the stigma?
Yes. Yes, I'd say so. I don't know any other reason. I just felt like it was such an odd sudden onset that I believed it would go away just as quickly.
Yes, I'm sure it's such a shock, but also such a bewildering shock. Like, what is going on here?
Exactly. It was just ghastly, absolutely ghastly.
How long did it take you to kind of get real about it, to admit that this was probably depression?
I believe a miracle happened. A lovely lady by the name of Lois from my church, completely unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to her, actually, she had gone to one of the pastors at our church and asked them for a list of young mums because she just felt she'd like to visit them and see how they were going. I was first on her list. Wow. So this particular day, I had Luke in my arms crying. I was also crying and there was a knock at the door. And I opened the door and here was this vaguely familiar looking lady and it was Lois and she said, You know, she was just visiting young mums at the church. Anyway, long story short, she came in, she said, "What's going on?" I wept and wept and wept. Turns out she had had postnatal depression herself many years ago.
Wow.
And there was something about how she described her experience to me, and that she said she believed that was what was happening, that I believed her. And so I went off to a psychiatrist and started counselling, medication, and that was the beginning of the process then.
How long into the journey was that?
That was probably a year into the journey.
Mm. What a terrible year.
Yes, ghastly. My poor beloved husband, he certainly, he's been incredibly faithful and obviously been through the mill with me. And yes, I really appreciate him.
It was probably very important for you to have acceptance from Lois.
Yes, she was marvellous. That began a very meaningful relationship with us. That point with each other. At that point, I still didn't want to tell anyone. So I'd go off to appointments and she would mind my boys. She was fabulous. Absolutely. I still say that that day God sent me an angel and it was Lois.
Yes. What was it about the stigma that so, in a way, crippled you, even separate to the depression, do you think?
That's a very good question. I don't know that I can adequately answer it. I still ponder that. I think it's just the whole mental illness thing. It makes you just feel so much of a lesser person. And that certainly wasn't something that was ever going to happen to me. In fact, someone very close in my life, when I bravely told them that this is what was happening some months after therapy was underway, said to me, "Well, goodness, Beth, no one in our family has ever suffered that before." And that, of course, was rather devastating.
I'm sure. I'm sure that there are a lot of things said by family, friends, that are terribly damaging to a person in the midst of depression.
Yeah, it's just so hard to comprehend. And that's why I think in my book I talk about friendship. And I think it's important to at least know others that have suffered in a similar way, because they're really the only ones that will get what you're going through.
Yeah.
So many people, even my dear, lovely, godly mum would just look at me and say, "But what have you got to be sad about? Just have a cup of tea and you'll feel better."
Yes. Oh, if only it was that simple,
yes.
Mum. Yes. Your overarching message is that people suffering with depression and anxiety, it's a twofold message. It's ghastly, but it's survivable.
Thank you. Yes. If there's one thing I'd like to say today and get clearly said, is that the best thing I ever did in this ghastly journey was to accept the fact that I'd been focusing so much on trying to be fixed, and I had certainly had some marvellous counsellors and doctors, psychologists, you name it, pastors at church that had helped me. But my focus was so much on trying to find that cure that I'd really stopped living life completely. And when I accepted the fact that I really could live a reasonable life within certain limitations and by applying certain strategies, which of course is what my book is all about, I could get on with life and I could do so much and be used by God as well, which was an interesting thought. It was such a sense of relief to actually get on with life. I still say it's similar in some ways to perhaps an asthmatic or a diabetic, in that there are certain things they avoid, certain things they do, certain things they must do. But yes, life is certainly survivable, even with depression as a fellow traveller in life.
So in your acceptance of it, you're not kind of giving up and saying, "Oh, I'm just depressed."
Oh, no, far from it.
It's an important part of moving on.
Yes, exactly. And certainly, don't hear me saying that all the therapy wasn't helpful. It was brilliantly helpful. And a lot of the tips in my book are my adaptions or adaptations, I should say, from therapists and very good therapists. But yes, it's not giving up, Lee, that's correct. It's just accepting it and living with it. And I still hope that one day I'll be better than I am today. But I'm a much better person when I say, okay, this is just part of who I am, for better or for worse, and let's just get on with life.
Did people ever say to you, you look good?
All the time. And in actual fact, doing the whole book thing has been quite an eye-opener to see the shock on people's faces. We just never knew.
Well, that's my reaction too, yes.
Yes.
Which speaks loudly about what a secret thing it is.
Yes.
And how distinguished.
And that, of course, is half the problem. That, you know, I know people have said to me, if you just let it out, you'd be a better person. But... So hopefully even the process of doing the book will be cathartic in itself.
Oh, yes. We're with Beth Louise Barrett on Open House, author of How I Survive, Current Continuous Tense, The Depression Thing. So with this book, as I said in the intro, it's like no other I've seen. And I've seen lots of books. It is simple, it's colourful, it's pictorial, it's cheery, and above all, I think it's practical. What's been the thinking behind how the book is designed, Beth, before we get into some of the How Do You Survive Depression? Because I think it's very unique in the design of it. It's very accessible. Yeah,
it's good. Thank you. Yeah. Well, obviously, I have read a lot of books on depression myself.
Yes.
And in lots of cases, not all cases, but in lots of cases, they can be depressing in themselves. I mean, how many times do you see books on depression that have got excellent content, but on the front cover there'll be a photo of someone looking dreadfully sad, yes, all in grey tones?
Yeah.
And I thought, when I thought about the process of doing this, I thought, you know what? My book is going to be hot pink with lime green and purple spots and paisleys,
yep,
and be everything that a lot of depression books that I'd seen was not.
It is bright.
If
you said choose one word to describe this book, it is bright.
It's also shiny. Yes. It's so funny. When I sent it off to the printer, he said, now, what's your paper going to be? And I said, well, I want it to be shiny, glossy. He said, oh, that's not the current theme. Most books are, you know, modern books are done
tough
with a matte finish. And I'm like, no, it needs to be shiny. And most of it, you'll see, I decided to illustrate it with colourful photos of things in my life. So there are photos of inside my kitchen cupboards. I know that sounds bizarre. But... yes, flowers and things in my life that are surrounding me.
And this face of yours on the front, which is certainly not looking too gloomy.
Well, no. There are some strange photos of me with expressions akin to screaming at times. But I wanted to make people smile as well as learn something about depression.
You've succeeded in that.
Can I tell you a quick story about one of the photos?
Right. Yeah.
A wonderful experience of encouragement during the process of putting the book together. I was still equivocating as to whether I would do this because I knew it was going to be hard, and certainly I didn't realise how hard things like doing this very interview would be.
It's been fine so far, Beth.
Thank you, Lee. You're very kind. One of the photos that I had taken was of my neighbour's front garden. So when I thought, maybe we are going to do this, I thought I need his permission. So I went in and knocked on his door and explained what I was doing. And
secretly photographing his garden. Stalker.
And he said, what's the book about? And I told him. And he looked at me and he said, Beth, my wife died from depression.
Wow.
And I said, oh, I think I was a bit shocked because although you may want to die when you're depressed, it's not usually life-threatening in itself. Mm. So we chatted about other things, and the whole time I'm thinking, how did his wife die? How did his wife die? I really want to know, but how do I work that into a conversation?
Yes.
Anyway, bravely, I eventually said, may I ask how your wife died? And he said, many years ago, Beth, she threw herself in front of a train. Mm-hmm. Back then, there was no help for her. And then he looked me straight in the eye and he said, Beth, if your book could help one person, it would be worth doing. And obviously I did.
I'm so glad you've done it. I think it's an important contribution.
Thank you.
So take us through the range of suggestions you offer to surviving depression. Lots of gems. I'll pick out a few. Gratitudes.
Okay.
That seems a funny thing to talk about in terms
of
depression.
It does. I think when you're depressed, that you kind of get stuck in grey mode. You know, some people talk about wearing rose-coloured glasses and seeing the bright side of life. When you're depressed, it's like always wearing dark glasses. Everything's gloom and doom. You've really got to force yourself to see the good things in life again. They are there. Yes. In my book, I talk about a couple of silly things like being grateful for the fact that I'm not allergic to chocolate, being grateful for the fact that the sun has risen again today and we're not entering another ice age just yet. I know that sounds silly, but if you write those things down when you're desperate to find something good in life, then on those days when it's particularly hard to see anything bright, look back at your list, remind yourself, and just try and get into that habit again.
Okay, second tip, you're such a girl, what to wear?
Well, that's so important, Lee.
It's important for blokes too, actually.
Well, back in the days when I was working for Carl, I loved to dress well. In fact, my original career was in the fashion industry, so I do like nice clothes.
She has the best coloured glasses on, which you'll see on our Open House Community Facebook page.
Thank you, Lee. That's very flattering.
Yes.
But yes, dressing well always makes you feel a bit better too, even off
right.
Even if on the inside you feel ghastly. If you feel you look okay and you present okay, but on the days when getting out of bed is hard, let alone going somewhere like going to work, I would often get stuck. I just don't know what to wear. And it's so important that I feel that I look okay. So I started a little book, because there were days when I did find a nice outfit to wear. And particularly if someone commented and said, that's a nice outfit, when I got home, I'd write it down in this little book. So on those days when I got stuck, I'd just go to my little book, look at an outfit that I'd worn before, put that on, and off I'd go.
Because another one of your tips is make lists.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a list. I love a okay. list. When your mental muddle is getting even muddlier.
Yes.
It seems like writing a list is like getting a good filing system in your brain worked out.
Yeah.
In fact, it's almost like taking that stuff out of your brain, freeing up the space and writing it down. However, I do remember a good psychologist telling me that when you cross things off a list, there is a part of the brain that registers pleasure. And I've proven that time and
That's
time again.
Interesting.
So I apparently scientifically proven they've pictured brains and worked that out. Don't ask me the whole scientific side of it, but that is a proven fact. So make lists. Write down what you're going to do each day, even if it's only one thing. And when you've done it, cross it off. And then, you know, I have a book that I keep my lists in, because I also think it's very encouraging to look back occasionally and go, wow, I can do stuff. I am an achiever. Wow.
Lots of cross-offs.
Yes.
Smell the roses is another one.
Yes, yes. Smelling roses is a fairly obvious one, I think, which is similar to gratitudes. It's looking at the simple things around you, like roses if you've got access to a garden, roses, petunias, nasturtiums, weeds, whatever. Look at them, feel the pleasure of the simple things in life.
Yeah. Chunk the day. That's an interesting suggestion.
Yes, yeah. Oh, goodness me, I apply that constantly. When you're depressed or anxious, life just feels overwhelming. Breaking the day up into small, doable chunks, small pieces, whether it be just half a day or hour by hour, makes life feel more believable.
Friends, they can often be problematic for people with depression, as we've spoken
yes.
about.
Yes, friends are really important. And when you're depressed, be prepared that you will probably lose some friends.
Yes.
Some are just not keen on hanging around. That's okay. That's pretty understandable. I know when I'm depressed, I'm not a really nice person to be with. Those that do stick around, and I am very blessed with friends, they are the faithful ones that you can constantly go to. They are such a blessing.
Did you have to cope with friends in inverted commas who are not good for you but who did stick around?
In other words, interesting thought.
Continue to make life challenging.
I guess so. And I did have a few that took me on as their personal project, wanted to fix me.
How helpful.
Not.
Yeah. Sunshine.
Ah, beloved sunshine. There is something in the sun. I think it might be vitamin D. I don't know. That is very good for you. Obviously, you do need to be careful about exposure to the sun these days. But if you can get out in the sun, even sit by a sunny window briefly during the day, it's wonderful for you.
There's a thing called seasonal affective disorder,
yes.
which is sad.
Yes.
Which people suffer
Yes.
In times of low light,
yes.
Certainly in the Northern Hemisphere.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
God gets a mention.
Yes, 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 yes. My book is not overtly Christian. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, but there is one page on God, because if you didn't hear that part of my story, you wouldn't be getting a complete picture. I still don't understand why bad things happen to good people, and vice versa. But I do know that God has never left me in the process. And like the Lois story, has been there, walked the journey with me, and continues to help me. And I would never, ever say to anyone that God is not worth hanging around with because you just don't understand. In fact, I like the fact in some ways that I don't understand God, because that makes him feel all the more superior to me. And he created me for whatever reason with these quirks and foibles, I don't know. But I do know that my life is better with him in it.
Do you think this enlarged or deepened your view, experience with God?
Definitely deepened and enlarged. Even, you know, as recent as this experience of doing this ghastly interview today.
It's nearly over.
And thank you. And trusting God in that and just saying, no, no, I'm doing this for you, God. Yeah, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God intervening in my life, carrying me, walking beside me when I needed him to. And I, as I said over and over again, I still don't understand it, but I accept it. And I know God loves me.
What did you learn about the character or the characteristics of God that you might not have known before?
I guess it's his supremacy and the whole his ways are higher than ours, and to stop trying to work it out. And just accepting that God loves me and knows best, regardless of what life is doing to me.
Yes. Ever shake your fist at him?
Oh, yes. In fact, I used to feel very guilty about that. I had to go and see someone and say, is it wrong to be angry at God? Yes. Because I really am.
Psalms do it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, great comfort in the Psalms. That could be a tip for my next book.
Yes. Second last one, going bananas.
Yes, yes, yes. There are certain foods that are great for your diet when you're depressed or anxious. And apparently bananas are high in something, I think it's potassium from memory, that are very good when you're depressed. Chicken, apparently, I heard someone say, chicken is good for you. Mm. Don't ask me why again, but yes, get some chicken into you. Fish oil tablets, I think that's good for everything.
Probably, yes.
So definitely take those. Yeah, so there's some simple things you can do.
We've only just scratched the surface of the important things that you have to say in this, because I didn't want to give it all away. But I think it is important to hear about your final tip for surviving depression.
Thank you, Lee. The best thing I ever did was to stop trying to be fixed and accept the fact that I could live a reasonable life with certain limitations, and when I did that, I experienced such a sense of relief. It was phenomenal, and that is how I live my life today.
Mm. Even through these ghastly interviews. It's over now. Get out of here. Get out of here. Beth, it's been just wonderful to talk. Beth Louise Barrett is the author of How I Survived the Depression Thing, and we'll post the details of that up on our Open House Community Facebook page. It's over.
Thank you.
Good on you. Lovely to see you.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.